Come, Holy Spirit. Come near to us. Move amongst us. Would you speak to us your heart, your mind, your voice? Would you reveal to us your presence? God, we want to know you, we want to hear you, we want to encounter you. And so right now we open up the soul of our church. And we invite you to speak. We invite you to move the furniture around. And we invite you to be God. Because more than this being our church, this is your church. And so we pray, build your church. Build it from the ground up, because we are your church. So Holy Spirit, would you touch our eyes and ears that we would see and hear what it is that you have to say to us today? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather together on quite an important Sunday today as we seek to hear what God would say to us about where we are now and about the immediate journey that is ahead. And in order for us to properly navigate that, we do need to kind of have a bit of a look at the journey so far in order to understand where we've been and why we are where we are, in order to know how we are going forward. And as a church, we seek to try and gather in moments like these roughly once a year, where we get together to talk about direction and what it is we believe that God has been saying and what we believe God is saying. And it's now been just over 3 years since my family and I, my amazing wife Susan, my phenomenal kids Abby Kerr, and I came to join you on the journey that God was taking us all on together as Glasgow Elam Church. And we've had quite an interesting journey up until now. It's not been the easiest, but it's always been interesting. Glasgow Elam, it would seem, is a church that has quite a lot of opinions and many voices that like to call out what should and shouldn't be, where we should or shouldn't be going, even what leadership should and shouldn't look like. And if I'm honest, that's been a bit painful at times. But I want to thank you for your support and faithfulness in the changing seasons of ministry. Right at the start, upon commencing a journey of leadership with you all, we sought in partnership with the deacons and the staff to begin to journey to a place of church health. See, a global pandemic saw every church re-emerging from a crisis landscape with a bit of a limp. A pandemic saw every church re-emerging looking to try and find some form of recovery and try and discover some form of momentum, and Glasgow Elam was no different to any other church at that point. Glasgow Elam re-emerged from that pandemic landscape with a significant limp and really seeking to try and find our journey of recovery and to try and find what our momentum was meant to be. And the thing about true lasting recovery is it takes time. The pandemic brought us all back to basics. And we sought to use that a bit to our advantage to kind of come to the foundations and take a blank canvas and to seek God for what he wanted to put upon it and the shape and form that he wanted us to have. You see, it would have been really easy to step out of the pandemic landscape and just dial right back into the shape and the structure that was in place before. But we emerged differently. We looked different. We felt different. It was a different culture, a different time. And it was important that we took time to say, God, what do you want to be on this canvas? What is the shape and the form that you want us to take? And in the initial stages, God said, wait. And if I'm brutally honest, the waiting period lasted a lot longer than I expected, because even now we still sense him saying, wait. And I realize that causes frustration, and I'm sorry. And I realize that in some senses that might not live up to expectations, and I'm sorry. But The waiting has not been about laziness or tardiness or being difficult. It's just been about trying to be obedient to what we understood that the voice of God was saying. I'd like to think that 3 and a bit years down the line, almost 4 now, we exist in a healthier place than we did when the mask first came off and the restrictions were first lifted. And I think we're healthier now than we were when we first tried to begin to exist together again in gathered moments. However, we're healthier, but we've still got a long way to go. And the journey that we embarked upon since the very beginning, it might not have seemed like it, but it was actually a carefully thought out and considered trajectory that sought to navigate towards health. That trajectory is still hugely a work in progress. But as outlined back in December 2020, when Susan and I first met with the deacons to talk about what this next chapter might be and what this next chapter might look like, we have sought since that time to journey towards, and we said that the initial points would be identifying and exploring mission, vision, and values. This was the starting point, a starting point that would take years to explore and cover, but it was a starting point. And it is vital, it is crucial in church health to identify and explore, to take time to identify and explore mission, vision, and values. But what do these statements mean? Because they can mean different things within different sectors and within different experience. Even within an education sector, those things can mean different to within a corporate sector. So what do we mean as a church when we talk about mission, vision, and values? Well, mission by definition is what you do. Vision by definition is where you're going. And values by definition are how you get there. Mission, vision, values. What, where, how. And this has been the journey over these past almost 4 years. Right off the bat, we began on Pentecost Sunday on the 23rd of May 2021 by defining our mission. Now, a mission statement is a broad, brief, biblical statement of what the church is supposed to be doing. It's not about specifics. It's not going down into the criteria. It's almost a summary that is broad and encompassing and is rooted in Scripture. And mission is a brilliant starting point. It's the best starting point because unlike vision and values, mission doesn't require time to discern or to discover because mission is biblical. We don't decide what the mission of the church is. Jesus does because this is his gig. We're his church. So mission is that which you develop in the sense that you define it. And most churches' mission should be kind of similar. They might change in the way that they're expressed or even in the way that they are worded, but ultimately the Bible calls out the job of the church, the what. And it was easy to define the mission of Glasgow Elam. It is rooted in our heritage. It is what we nail our colours to. We are a Pentecostal church. That shapes our what. That shapes what we do and the way that we do it. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe that what happened on the day of Pentecost still happens today. Amen? Amen? So in our crafting of vision, we simply came back to Scripture and we looked at the experience of Pentecost and specifically how the disciples sought to build church around the experience of Pentecost. And we spent time in Acts 2, 42 to 47, and we took from the Scripture the dynamics that we saw at the foundations of that first church building itself around the experience of Pentecost. And we sought to put the same dynamics at the foundation of our church as we sought to build around the experience of Pentecost. And this became our mission. Glasgow Elam is a community exploring the experience of heaven on earth by seeking God, sharing faith, and serving others. This is our what. This shapes what we do. We seek God, we share faith, we serve others. This is an unchanging compass for our church. And this mission is tattooed on the soul of our church as a constant. In every season, in every age and stage of church life, in every gathering with our resources, with our time, with our effort, regardless of what's going on within and regardless of what's going on out with our church, Glasgow Elam will always be a community exploring heaven on earth by seeking God, sharing faith, and serving others. Now, generations to come, they might word it differently, they might style it differently, but the heart will always be the same. Any church worth its soul, this is what we do. We seek, we share, we serve. Mission is written in permanent black ink. unchanging and constant. But written in pencil, however, is vision. And it's written in pencil not because it changes year in and year out and we have to rub it out each year and write a new one, but rather as we journey with God, he expands upon, builds upon, deepens and develops our vision. There are, for example, many aspects of ministry that we're called to explore within particular seasons that shape the vision and direction of the church. For a chapter or two of the church's life, there are aspects of vision that exist as a focus and as a priority. But then as that chapter closes and the season moves on, it may be that we never revisit those aspects again. Equally, there are facets of vision that God reveals at different points in the journey and at varying stages of growth, because vision is that which deepens and develops. It is that which we journey into. It's like as you journey towards something, the closer you get to it, the clearer it becomes, the more your vision becomes detailed and aspects of it become defined. It's the same with vision. As we commit to journey with God, the more that we journey with him and the more that we journey into what he's called us to, the more aspects of vision become clearer and more defined. Vision is that which we grow into and that which we journey into. But vision can be determined by context, challenge, and circumstances. Since we began journeying together in 2021, we have been growing into our vision as a people. On Sunday the 13th of March 2022, we held our first ever Vision Day together. It wasn't the first ever Vision Day for Glasgow Elam, there were others in the history, but it was our first one together as a family in this form. And if you remember, we called it Gather 2022. And in this day, we called out a number of things that we believe God was calling us to focus on, and the theme was very much taken from Ecclesiastes, where it says there is a season for every activity under heaven, and as you look at the list of the activities that is listed there, a verse that says there's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. We believe that God was calling us to gather. This aspect was very much determined by context, challenge, and circumstance. Because this aspect of the vision saw priority falling on gathering as a people instead of scattering. Scattered church had, through no choice of our own, been our modus operandi for a period of time. We had no option but to do scattered church across 2020 and 2021. But now turning the corner on that, with that unpleasant period very much in our rearview mirror, our focus and call was to gather again. And this shaped things quite a bit. The previous schedule of Sunday services at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and in the evening, they were all brought into one 11 a.m. service. And the heart behind that was that we would gather together as one and explore together as one this new season that God was taking us into. We'd gather in one moment rather than being scattered across many services. Church planting was put on hold. The church plant in East Kilbride came to a natural close. The church plant that had been planned for the city centre was paused because our vision was about a season of gathering, not scattering. Now, we might revisit planting again in the future if God unfolds that within the vision, but the context, circumstance, and challenge at that time was very much shaping the vision. The call was to gather as living stones, not be scattered. And that was seen in the big headline changes and direction that we made, but also in the small details, like streaming services in their entirety stopped. And we moved to a kind of on-demand thing because the idea was that we weren't to be scattered at home in our PJs on a screen, but gathered together in one moment, although the scattered at home on the PJs sounds appealing sometimes. But the vision at that time shaped the direction that we were taking as we were emerging from this pandemic landscape. We were gathering, but not scattering. But gathered for what? Well, again, we turned to Scripture and we turned to Joshua chapter 4 and we looked at this moment in which Joshua was leading the people across the River Jordan into the Promised Land. And the River Jordan for them was like a threshold as they went into a new season and new territory. And we identified so much with that because we were crossing the threshold with this horrible pandemic behind us. We were stepping into a new season and new territory. We looked different. It felt different. And so we looked to see what can we learn from them. And what we saw was that as soon as they crossed the River Jordan into the new season, the first thing that they did was they gathered stones together as a cairn. And God was speaking to us about gathering stones, so we looked at that, and they gathered stones together as a cairn to be a memorial to their children and their children's children of what God had done. It's to remind them, their children, and their children's children of what God had done. And we took this analogy and we said, well, we're gathered together like living stones, and we're gathering together to build a platform that will showcase the glory of God to the now, the next, and the not yet generation. This became our vision statement. Written in pencil, not because it's ever changing, but because God is taking us on a journey and of deepening and of discovering and of understanding what it is he's calling us to be. He has been growing us into our vision. And this generational theme has shaped the ministry approach that we took at that point. It was what we believe God was speaking to us at that point. And so we intentionally began to put focus on generational ministry. And some of you were like, yes, we love this. Some of you were not too happy with it. But the whole concept was that we were just trying to be obedient to what we understood God was saying. And this generational theme will be reflected further today as we unpack what God is saying. 2022 finished, we turned the corner into 2023. And Sunday the 12th of March, we gathered again round vision on what we call Grow 2023. And we turned again to Scripture, to Isaiah 54, to that passage where it says, sing, barren woman, burst into song, you who never bore a child, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. And the call at that point, if you remember, was to let our vision shape our voice, to sing out of our prophetic expectation and not out of our present experience. In this prophetic metaphor in Isaiah, the present experience of the woman is that she's barren. But what the Lord says is, you're going to have many children, so sing. She was called to sing out of her prophetic expectation, not her present experience. And over the past 18 months, I think we can safely say that God has opened up the lungs of our church. And our sung worship and our moments of spirit-led intercession have transitioned us into really significant moments and led us into really significant spaces with God. These have become sacred moments. And if we're honest, there's been times when we've not really been sure what to do with them. Do we fuel it? Do we stop it? Do we pause? Do we keep going? What do we do? These have been very special times because the church has found its voice again. Amen. However, God didn't just speak and say praise. He also told us to prepare for what it was he was going to do. And this was about increasing in welcome and capacity and vulnerability, increasing in resources and reach and in strength. And we've been working on these steps ever since. In some of these areas, we have been making positive strides. And in other areas, we've been making baby steps. But we've been in the preparation stage for a period of time now. Since the turn of the year, God has been speaking to us clearly about stewarding glory, what it is he plans to fill the enlarged tent with, his presence. And he's been talking to us about changing the lens and changing the shape of the church and the shape he's calling us to have as a people. We were to praise, we were to prepare, but also we were to posture. And this posture call was about posturing ourselves in such a way as we serve God and recognizing that the outworking of that won't just be seen in our time and generation, but in the generations that come after us. And this was a change in shape from me and now and what's God going to do now and what I want to actually we're going to posture ourselves in such a way that we serve him so that what he does now is the foundation, our ceiling is the foundation of the next generation, that we leave a legacy that they can build upon and that will shape their dynamic. And again, this posture aspect, the stewarding of glory, will be reflected in what we explore today. 2023 proved to be quite a year because we met twice that year. If you remember, we had a Sunday that we called Launch Sunday, and we looked in August of 2023 at the parable of the barren fig tree, to see that God was telling us to focus on culture over structure, and fruitfulness, we said, is linked to what's going on in the roots underneath the soil, not what was going on in the activities and structure on the surface level. And this culture call has very much defined the direction that we've taken, and it's actually why we're gathered here today and what we're calling Ethos 2024. It would have been better if I could get a word that began with G. Gather 2022, grow 2023. ethos. 2024 doesn't quite have the same ring, but anyway. We call out this journey because as we call out the journey that we've taken, we can see the way that God has deepened and developed our understanding over time and how, in fact, different layers and facets of vision have been called out at relevant moments within the journey. We have been growing into our vision. It's not that the vision has changed year on and year out, but actually we've been growing into it, and God has deepened and developed our understanding of it. And it's really important that we do look at the journey so far, because when you navigate forward, you've always got to have that perspective of the rearview mirror in order to safely navigate into what is ahead. Today we come to focus on ethos. Now, what does that mean? Because it's not really a word that we use in day-to-day language. The dictionary definition of ethos is this: it's the characteristic spirit or attitudes of a community. Ethos is all about culture. Apparently, it's about character, it's about spirit, and it's about attitude, but it's not about the character, spirit, or attitude of an individual, but of a community. So ethos is about culture, but actually it's about shared culture. It's the characteristics of a group and a community of people. Ethos is about the way that a community behaves. It's the personality of that community. It's the shared heart of a community and what a community holds in its heart. A group's ethos is seen in its values. What the community holds at its foundation and as its foundation. What is considered to be the priority of that community. The factors that shape that community's approach and the stance that they take. When you begin to talk about culture, you have to begin to identify ethos. That is, what are the church's values? What is the foundation, approach, priority, and stance of the church? And since last August, since God put the spotlight on culture, we as a leadership team, that is the deacons and the staff, have sought to begin to discern the ethos of Glasgow Elam. That is, what are the values of our church? What is the definition of our culture? And defining this stuff is really important. You might think, why do we need to get bogged down in defining mission and vision and values? Defining is really important. I'm always challenged by this statement. You will never do the ministry that matters until you define what matters. Defining what matters is really important. You have to define the target in order to hit it. And we will never do the ministry that matters until we define what matters. And so today we are defining what matters. Defining culture is really important. And if God is doing a work that is all about our culture and not about our structure, then a key to partnering with his work is to define, well, what is our culture? Because if we can begin to define it and begin to come into alignment with it and into agreement with it, if we begin to turn our focus towards it, then that's where we'll find God, because that's where he's working right now, in our culture. And not necessarily been found in our structure. I'm not saying he isn't in the structure, but that the place that we find him is in the culture, because the structure is the outworking of that. So what is the characteristic spirit or attitude of the community that is Glasgow Elam? What is or what are our values? Well, values are not quite like mission or vision. Values are not developed like mission or discovered on the journey like vision. Values are discerned and they are distilled. To define values is not about seeking God for what is to be or working towards and setting in place what is meant to be. Values are about discovering what already is. What has God breathed into the soul of the church? What is the church's DNA? What is in the soil? What are the very roots that feed every other part of Glasgow Elam Church and make it fruitful? What's in the bricks? What's in the woodwork? What is it that's held at the core of our church that isn't determined by which pastor is here and isn't, what leaders are here and aren't, what families are here and aren't? It's just in the soil. And the thing is, God determines that. Not a pastor or staff, not a leadership team or members, long standing or otherwise. God births a community. And he gathers that community together as a church, and he shapes and determines its DNA, its personality, its character. And it's his voice that says, this is who I have made you to be and the spirit I've given you to have. And when we then discern and distill that which he has placed at our foundation, that which he shapes as our priority and calls to shape our stance and dictate our approach, when we tap into that, when we discern it, distill it, and embrace it, we begin to unlock fruitfulness and we begin to release growth because we begin to embrace what we are called and made to be as a church. We thrive when we become comfortable in our own skin. And stop trying to be what we're not. We thrive when we become comfortable with our own reflection, when we become comfortable with who we're made to be and what we're made to be. It's when we become comfortable in our skin, the skin that God gave us. Not a denomination, not a pastor, not the opinion and expectation of other people, but God and God alone. Defining values is really important then. Because if defining values is about saying this is our skin and we need to be comfortable in it, then defining values is about alignment. It's about saying actually we are good with who God made us to be and we're good with who God made us as a gathered people to be. It's to partner with him. It's to embrace DNA that we're shaped with. It's to become one with it. And therefore, it's freedom. When you become comfortable with your shape and your skin, with your own reflection, in that place is freedom. It's when we thrive. So this isn't just some corporate exercise, mission, vision, values. This is deeply spiritual. Defining values is in itself definitive because it is to call out, this is the way that we behave as a people. This is our approach. This is what we pursue, give to as our drive. This is our priority. This is the way that we navigate and collectively work together. This is our stance. This is what we hold dear and build upon. This is our foundation. You see, you'll never do the ministry that matters until you define what matters. Fruitfulness is not in the structure and the shape. It's locked within the very soil of the church, and it's at its very roots. So fruitfulness for Glasgow Elam is not found in how big can we make the structure. It's found in the roots of Glasgow Elam, in coming into alignment and partnering with that which God has given us as our DNA and becoming one with it. So how do we discern values? Short answer, slowly. As a team, we've been seeking God on this for some time. And we arrived on what we believe to be our values back in spring of this year. But we've been sitting on them ever since then. And we've been sitting on them not to be devious and sleek it, or to try and be secretive. But we've been sitting on them because having defined them, we wanted to take a period of time to prayerfully watch for them. To make sure that that which we had distilled them as was a true reflection of the way that we as a community of people behaved and the shape of what God was doing. See, the thing about DNA is it's intrinsic. You can't change your DNA to what you hope it would be and what you wish it would be. It's intrinsic. Values are that which are intrinsic within a church community. They're not like vision or mission. They're not aspirational. They're not that which you work towards or that you wish were in place. Values are that which already lie beneath the surface, that which is already in the soil and been shaped by God as the personality and character of the church. And values are just what they say on the tin. They are what we value as a people and are seen as such because they seep out in the culture and the behavior of the community. They are the distinctive traits that make Glasgow Elam, Glasgow Elam. So we kind of landed on these back in spring. And what we also did in spring was we asked a number of people from varying age groups, genders, length of experience at Glasgow Elam, those that were brand spanking new through the door, as well as those that had been here for a long period of time. We asked a series of questions that they could answer anonymously. We said, what words come to mind when you think of Glasgow Elam? What do you feel when you think of Glasgow Elam? What would you describe as Glasgow Elam's distinctives? We asked each person not to overthink their answers, but to give the gut reaction and to describe what currently is, not what they would like to be, want to be, or hope to be, or even what they thought was the right answer to give. And the thought behind this was these questions of what do you feel, what do you think, was about, well, what is in the soil here? What is the DNA? And our thought process in this was asking a number of people from all these different age grounds and backgrounds and stuff like that, was to say, well, when we get the answers, where there is a common theme, then surely there must be a value. Where there is a common thread in the answers must be what is the personality and the character of our church. And again, the wording there was, what do you think of? What's coming to your mind? What do you feel? Because that's the way we encounter characters, isn't it? The way they make us feel and what we think of when we think of somebody. So we got a series of answers and we put them together into one of these fancy word art thingies where the more times a word was mentioned, the bigger the word became. And we looked to see, was there a common thread? And what we looked to see was, did that confirm what we had distilled and discerned the values to be? Or did it inspire us for what they should be? We sought from this to try and identify three core values. And we ended up with four. Death by committee. Only kidding. And what then followed was a wee bit of wordsmithing. How do we communicate these? How do we word these in a way that defines our DNA? And with that in place, we sat on them for a period of time, 6 months. And we sat on them again, not to be sleek and devious or secretive, but we began to look for them in our gathered moments. Does this describe what we see God doing? Are these a good description of the way that God is moving amongst us and the way that God is shaping us? We even began to use some of the phrases in conversation and communication. You might end up, when we reveal them to you, they're a bit underwhelming because actually for the past 6 months we've been calling them out. You just didn't know what they were. And again, the idea there wasn't to be devious, but the idea was, see, when we speak these out, does it resonate? Is it a good description of what's happening in the moment? Is it a good description of the way that we function and the way that we form? We sought to try and call them out for a wee while, and we landed on our four core values, and our plan is between now and the end of the year, we're going to take them one at a time, and we're going to spend weeks at a time on each one, looking at the scriptural basis for them, as well as calling out the practical and spiritual outworking of how we come into alignment with those as a church people. And this is life-giving for us, because God is in our roots at the moment. That's where he is, and that's what he's doing. He's moving the furniture around in the very soul of the church and the very culture of the church. And when we begin to come to the place where we recognize our own skin and become comfortable and one with it, we begin to find life and we thrive. So, what are our values? What are our distinctives? What is the characteristic spirit and attitude of our community that is Glasgow Elam? Well, as always, we turn to scripture for this. And you'll notice that whenever we're teaching something that is directional or directive, whenever we're bringing change or anything foundational, we always root it in scripture. And the idea there is that when we come to the scripture and we see that what we are exploring and going into is biblically based, when we come there and we open it up together and we hear the voice of God through that together and we get the confirmation of that in our spirits together, then we understand that this is rooted in God and not in a leadership personality. And so we always seek to come to that scripture first and foremost. So if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Joshua 24? It is a big bit of scripture, but don't stress. We're only going to focus on one sentence. But context is everything. Joshua 24. It says, then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, Your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I did not listen, or I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites and a whole bunch of otherites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you the land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served before you the Euphrates or served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The story of Joshua is the story of God leading the Israelites from wilderness wandering to promised land possessing. They cross the threshold of the River Jordan, they set up their little cairn of gathered stones, and they press on to take the land. And in this, the very final chapter of the book, Joshua has divided up the land and he's given each tribe their boundaries. Old in age, he calls the people of Israel together. And he takes time to call out the journey that they've embarked upon. And in doing so, he outlines the faithfulness and the strength of God. They were given a vision, and that vision spanned generations from Abraham all the way down. A vision of becoming a people becoming a nation dispossessing nations and living in a land that is their own. And now they've crossed over that threshold and are beginning to explore the reality of that vision. And as they do, Joshua calls them as a people to make a choice. His call is about them choosing the way that they're going to explore the vision. It's about them choosing the way that they're going to live in the land, the way that they're going to behave. In this moment, Joshua is seeking to call out the characteristic spirit and attitude of this community of people. And as he does so, notice he doesn't sell them fresh vision. He's not trying to call out what should be or must be, because his call is rooted in the story of their heritage. He outlines what has been, what is intrinsically there throughout their journey from Abraham all the way through to the moment in which they now stand. And as he does so, Joshua nails his own colors to the mast. His concluding remark is personal, but it's invitational. In the undertone of his public declaration and his commitment, there is almost a call for everyone everywhere within the sound of his voice to commit the same. His statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This calls out the characteristic spirit and attitude that he and by default his family are going to live with. This statement calls out that which is his approach, his foundation, his stance, his priority. And as he calls out his ethos, his values, So by nature of his rhetoric, he calls out what theirs as a people should be as well. And locked within this one statement is the outline and definition of the four values that we adopt as a church. And we call out today as the characteristic spirit and attitude of Glasgow Elam Church. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Joshua tables his commitment against the backdrop of choice. Choose for yourselves this day, he says, whom you will serve. Joshua doesn't issue a command. He issues a choice. He doesn't dictate, I am the leader and you must do what I tell you and blindly adopt the faith that I dictate right now. No, Joshua levels a choice. He invites the people to make an authentic choice. Not an enforced decision, not a decision that is blind faith and empty belief. He invites them, he says to them, there is a choice of gods out there. There is a smorgasbord of deities. Choose one. Make a choice. Make a choice that is authentic to you and make a choice that is authentically you. I'm not saying this is the choice that you have to make. I'm not dictating your choice. I'm saying to you, okay, make your choice. Make a choice that is authentic to you and a choice that is authentically you. But as for me, this is my choice. This is me. This is who I am. This is the guts, the bones of who I am. This is authentically me. And I'm going to allow my authenticity to shape my approach, the way that I behave in this land, the way that I live in this land, the way that I approach life from this day onwards. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Now, there were no airs and graces with Joshua. No pretense, no sense of conformity either in the decision that he was making or what he was asking of the people. He made an authentic choice. And he committed to allow that choice to shape his approach. And he invited the people to do the same. When you look at Glasgow Elam, you can see the same characteristic spirit guiding the community over generations. Glasgow Elam is a church that champions authenticity. There are no airs and graces. There is no requirement for pretense. Glasgow Elam is a community where it's safe to take the mask off and be real and be authentically you. But with the same vein, Glasgow Elam is a community that seeks to facilitate an experience, an encounter, and a spirituality that is itself real and authentic. Joshua's statement and choice here was in relation to his faith, his spirituality, what he was committing his whole life to. He was committing, as for me, this is authentically me, and what I commit my all to, I commit my everything to pursuing God. Now, we call that discipleship. To have faith in God is to be a believer. To pursue God with every ounce and fiber of your being is to be a disciple. It's to say my decision, my choice, my faith is going to impact and alter my entire approach to life and everything that I seek to do. Glasgow Elam is a community who seeks and has always sought to facilitate an authentic approach to discipleship. Both in terms of come as you are, doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you believe up until now, you are welcome to come and meet Jesus just as you are and authentically journey with him within this family. It's in the soil here. It's in the brickwork. It's in the bones of the place. It's in the soul of the church. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter your cultural background, your nationality. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Doesn't matter whether you've got it all together or whether you're struggling. Doesn't matter whether you're thriving or living in chaos. Doesn't matter what you've believed up until now. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter where you're going. Doesn't matter how long you've had faith or whether you haven't had any at all. You are welcome to come and authentically be you, and it's discovered a real relationship with Jesus Christ in this place. But our authenticity is not just seen in the come and be real approach, but also in the what it is that we are pursuing, what it is we seek to live out and facilitate within the boundaries of this church community. We seek an authentic experience and relationship with a very real God. The history and legacy of this church, the reason that you and I are sitting in this room right now, is because over decades and years, weeks and months, this place has been shaped to bring authentic approach to discipleship. It doesn't matter who you are and where you've been, you are welcome to come and experience Jesus here and find that he's so real that your life will be forever changed. So here is a characteristic, spirit, and attitude of Glasgow Elam. Here is a definition of the personality of this house. Our ethos, our value is this. Authenticity is our approach. We are a church with a heart to be authentic in our discipleship. We approach everything with a desire to be real and explore the reality of God. You can see this in the soul of the church, and I trust that as we call it out, you can see that characteristic as part of who we are. Amen. Joshua says, as for me and my house. Joshua not only speaks for himself in this moment, but he speaks for his house. And he makes this bold public declaration and commitment. And as he does so, he doesn't only make it for himself, but he makes it for his family as well, which shows that in his life, pivotal to his life, vital, the very foundation for him is his family. So much so that when he makes a life definitive decision, it doesn't just impact him, but it encompasses his entire family as well. Again, as Joshua calls out his commitment, he's modeling with his leadership what he expects the rest of the nation to step into as well. He challenges them to make an authentic decision that is for them and for their families. See, for Joshua and the people of Israel, family is their foundation. We can see it throughout Scripture. It's an intrinsic characteristic and spirit for the people of Israel. They are organized by their clans and tribes. They travel in their clans and tribes. They camp in their clans and tribes. They have elders and leaders for their clans and tribes. And now in the promised land, they set up boundaries and land allocation based upon their clans and tribes. Family is their foundation. But what does that mean? Well, Joshua calls it out. It's important that we identify what that means, because the word family is a flippant word that we can use within church circles all the time. What does it mean? Joshua tells us. He says, as for me and my house. He says, this is for me and for those who call my house their home. So foundational is family to my life, Joshua says, that when I make an allegiance and a commitment, it doesn't just impact me, but it encompasses everyone who calls my house their home. Again, at Glasgow Elam, this characteristic, spirit, and attitude is one that is clear and is clearly intrinsic. We are a spiritual house that many call home. And we are blessed to have people from over 35 nationalities call Glasgow Elam home and find family within our borders. Every Sunday, our house is filled with life. As individuals from every age and stage, from brand new out the wrapper, out the womb, to 90 years old, every week, our house is filled with life as people from every age and stage come together to be part of a gathered moment and part of the pursuit of God. The truth is, not everyone knows everyone. Not everyone knows each other's names. That's okay. It's kind of impossible when you gather with 250, 300 people every week to know every single name in the house. I'm still trying to learn some names myself. The key is, if I call you brother or sister, I don't have a clue. We might not know each other's names. Some of us may recognize each other simply from existing in the same space each week, but perhaps not always because of having a deep and meaningful conversation with every single person. But that doesn't mean we're not family. Because when we gather to explore his presence, encounter his heart, and minister to his greatness, we, the living stones from every generation and varying nations, we come together to become one spiritual house that hosts his glory. And like Joshua, family is everyone who calls our house their home. For Glasgow Elam, family is everyone who calls our house their home. And at the very foundation of our community are the gathered moments, the moments when we come together from all stages and walks of life and authentically pursue God together. At the foundation of our community are the moments where we gather in this house, and the gathered experience in each other's presence makes this house home. Let's be honest. It's not the four walls that make this home. It's not the shell of this building that makes this place home. Trust me, if you were to come in here during the week on your own when it's freezing cold, it feels anything but home. It is not the shell that makes this place home. It's when we come together on a Sunday and we come together with people from all different ages and stages of life, and we come together in this moment. We might not know one another, but we have one focus, and that is to worship Him, to turn our focus to Him, to host His presence. And in that moment when suddenly the presence of God sweeps in, the shell becomes home. This space is home. Truth is, we could up sticks and move from this location and step into a different location. And it's not that, oh, it's a different place, so it's not home, because in the moment when we come together and we host His presence together, wherever we are becomes home. Therefore, the characteristic spirit and attitude of our community, our ethos, our value is this: family is our foundation. We are a church that nations and generations call home. The experience of family is foundational in everything that we do. And you see it from the daft moments at Christmas, to back to school Sundays, to dress up Sundays, to the hubbub in the foyer before and after the service, the greeting time that some people love and some people loathe in the middle of the service, to the hubs, to the small groups, to the care of one another, to the moments that we host glory together, even the times when at the end of a Sunday, James and I are saying, could you please go home so that we can go and have our lunch, please? Family is our foundation. That's why when someone comes out of the waters on a baptismal Sunday, we go wild and we celebrate them in their journey with Jesus. We might not know them. We might not have had a deep and meaningful conversation with them, but we'll celebrate them because family is our foundation. That's why we'll gather together and we'll act daft with our kids to create memories for them, because family is our foundation. That's why we will celebrate someone turning 90 years old and we'll say thank you for all that you've done over the decades that you've been part of our church. We celebrate you because family is our foundation. That's why when we hit milestone life moments and when people are stepping away from things and into things, we pray for them and we honor them and we celebrate them because family is our foundation. And that's why even when someone joins our team only for a short period of time on their leaving Sunday, there is tears and snorters and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, because family is our foundation and we love well. I trust that as we call out this characteristic spirit, you can see it. It's in the bones of the place. It's not determined by who the pastor is, who the deacons are, what families are here, what families aren't. It's the very soul of this house. Family is our foundation. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we are going to serve. Joshua takes a stance. He calls out a posture. He says, here's the stance and the posture that my household and I are going to take from this point forward. We are going to serve the Lord. It's interesting that Joshua doesn't say we're going to acknowledge the Lord or believe in the Lord, but specifically he calls out an action. It's like he's saying this is the stance that we're going to take with our entire lives. We're going to serve. Now, he could have said we're going to trust. He could have said we're going to worship. He could have said we're going to have faith in the Lord, but specifically he says we're going to serve the Lord. And I suppose that statement encompasses all the other options that we've just outlined. But what he says here is, me and my household, that is who I am, who I do life with, what I give the resources of my house to, I give them over and commit them to the service of the Lord. Now, this term, as we said, can be understood to mean worship and trust and believe and have faith. But what I love about this wording is that it's both outward as well as inward. It is describing a posture of the heart as well as the actions of a lifestyle. It's a stance. See, when you take a stance on something, it's inward and outward. When you take a stance on something, it's not just an inner belief that you have, but it shapes your actions as well. And Joshua says serving is his stance. When you look over the journey of Glasgow Elam, you can see this characteristic within the soul of the church. As a community that has been a wholehearted embodying of service, this is a posture that has been both inward and outward, spiritual and practical, from salt and light buses, vibrant kids and youth clubs, coats for kids, shoebox appeals, mission trips, King's Kids Indonesia being brought on board as our missionary organization, establishing a food bank and then releasing it to thrive on its own as its own entity, litter picks, blessing local businesses, adopting the local school, even to stewarding renewal. At the heart of this church has been a desire to serve. It's easy to identify that within the personality of the church, a core part of our ethos and therefore a core value is that serving is our stance. We are a church with a call to serve, and we give our everything to serve the purpose of God and the needs of those around us. Again, I trust that as we call out this core characteristic, that you can see it within the soul of who we are. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." He called out of the smorgasbord of alleged gods out there, "While many choose to worship and serve many, I choose just one." And he gives us this big historical sermon to say, "I choose the one that has brought us to this place, the God that has been working through the generations, whose hand and might has kept and preserved, provided and directed us from the days of Abraham right up until now. I choose him. He is my priority. Out of all of the options out there, I prioritize and choose just one. His presence is my priority." Do you know what? It's not hard to look back and see that over the years and throughout the generations of Glasgow Elam Church, there has been a priority placed upon the presence of the living God. There has been a distinct heart to facilitate his reality amongst us. As a church, Glasgow Elam has been known both with positive and negative connotations as a place where the presence of God has been found. This is, without a doubt, a defining characteristic. It is a unique attitude and hallmark of the personality of this church. A core aspect of our ethos and therefore a core value is this: presence is our priority. We are a church gathering together to host his glory. The presence of God is our everything. And you can see this from the way that we structure our services, the flow and space within our worship, the time and approach to our teaching, to the moments spent waiting and pressing in, the priority in this house, in our gathered moments, in our approach, in our stance, at our very foundation is the presence of God. And so here is the ethos of Glasgow Elam Church. Here are the hallmarks of our community, the characteristic spirit, attitude, and personality of this house. Authenticity is our approach. Family is our foundation. Serving is our stance. And presence is our priority. And as we discern the DNA that God has placed within us, we see that this is our fingerprint. It is that which identifies us and is carried as unique to us. We embrace our DNA knowing that doing so, it actually releases us to thrive. As we come into this and we begin to draw this out to the surface and we say, this is the skin that God has given us. We're not going to try and be what we're not. We're going to become comfortable with our own reflection, comfortable in our own skin. We're going to come into alignment with this and be at one with this. As we connect to our roots, we know that what comes next is life, freedom, thriving. This is our DNA. And we defend our DNA and we fight to preserve it and we align with it, recognizing that this is what it means to be part of Glasgow Elam. This is what we ascribe to when we become part of this community. This is what defines our function and the very way that we embody our mission and pursue our vision. This is our priority. This is our approach, our foundation, our stance. This is Glasgow Elam. And in our time and in our generation, we will steward presence as our priority. Authenticity is our approach. Family is our foundation. And serving as our stance. We are Glasgow Elam. And this is our DNA. And today, we call out and define this. Because defining this stuff is so incredibly important. We will never do the ministry that matters until we define what matters. And defining our mission and our vision and our values is so important. So we call out and we say, yes, Lord. We come into alignment and we come into agreement with that. And we will not try and be what we're not, but only be what you've called us to be. We are Glasgow Elam. This is our